creation is first and foremost an act of destruction.
You're listening to a New Dimensions Media podcast. New Dimensions Media, communicating the wisdom that's changing the world.
Hello, I'm Michael Toms. Welcome to the New Dimensions Cafe. Today I'm hosting Michael Gellert. Michael Gellert is the author of a number of books, including Modern Mysticism, Jung, Zen, and the Still Good Hand of God, The Fate of America, An Inquiry into National Character, and The Way of the Small, Why Less is Truly More. He's also a faculty member of the C.G. Jung Institute of Los Angeles and a certified Jungian analyst in private practice. Michael, welcome to New Dimensions Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Michael, as someone who's been traveling the world, familiar with other cultures, doing the work you've been doing for so many years, a couple of decades, right, at least?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, from your perspective at this moment in time, you know, how you see the ever-changing worldscape, the changing world around us, from your perspective in this moment.
Well, there's a number of levels one can look at that question. Obviously, on the most immediate level, we're in the middle of a campaign, a presidential campaign that I think, as everybody deep down knows, will be a choice between one direction or another for our nation and for the world at large. On a larger level, I think it's safe to say that we live in an apocalyptic age. Now, I don't mean that in a traditional biblical kind of way, that the world is going to end. There have been many apocalyptic ages before. An apocalyptic age is one in which the civilization that we are living in is going through a great transformation, usually a kind of death and rebirth experience. An old order with its old values, its old spiritual orientation is being transformed slowly and painfully into something new. And it's important to understand that the painful process, the death process, is part of the larger picture of a death and rebirth. So much more can be said about that, but in a word, I think it's important to understand the events of the day against the larger hidden background of what is historically happening.
Yeah. So as we, again, we're inundated with all the bad news, how terrible the world is, with very little opportunity to see what things that are good may be happening, what's positive. So do you have any suggestions or insights for those people who feel like, wow, what can I do? It's so big. It's so huge.
Yes. Yes.
How can I make a difference?
Well, we can only do this on the human level of our individual lives in small ways. Some of us may be in positions of power, but the rest of us can also make very important contributions through whatever we do. Parenting, being a radio host as you are, or a therapist as I am, or whatever anybody is doing, to do it with a kind of consciousness that how can I make a contribution toward the well-being of the people around me and in my immediate circle.
You wrote a book, The American Century. Is that the name of the book?
The Fate of America.
Fate of America. And that book is loaded with basically, you spent 12 years writing it. It's about the American character. And so what do you think of the American character now relative to what's going on in the world?
I think the American character, like any national character, doesn't change dramatically overnight. Character can evolve, but very slowly. It's important to understand that our character is rooted in our history and in our origins. So I don't think that what's happening now is something extraordinarily different from our national character and history. The impetus for change, the desire to make a new beginning and start afresh, the concern of our standing in the world, depending on how one interprets that, whether one looks at it the way a John McCain might, or the way an Obama or Clinton might. These are all part and parcel of our character. And what's important to understand is how our character or how our history is at a very unique juncture. Because, you know, before in other apocalyptic ages, when they talked about the end of the world, we know in hindsight that the world was not near ending. It only looked to the people in the moment that it was ending, whether it was the bubonic plague or the Civil War, which was thought of as an apocalyptic event, or either of the world wars in the last century. The world wasn't really on the verge of ending. But some people today do believe, and there seems to be increasing evidence that if we keep going on in our ecological trends, that there will be a reversal of the Earth's ability to correct itself within our lifetimes, and it can be a great shift in how we live, and the entire viability of civilization can be undermined. So I think that this is a really distinct moment in history that it's important to look at on its own terms.
I just also wondering from a standpoint of leadership, we've often, I think many people in this country have looked at it, there's going to be a leader that's going to help get us out of this. I mean, we're going to find somebody that'll take us out of it. In some ways, that's an old idea, isn't it? It's like we all really have to step up and become leaders in our own way. Do you agree?
Yes, and that's the actual original meaning of a Jeffersonian democracy, that it needs to be practiced down in the grassroots in everybody's lives. Everybody needs to take a responsibility to be a citizen. Now, what's different today is that it's not just about being a citizen of your country, but it's about being a citizen in the world, because everything is so interdependent now. But this speaks again to the importance of small individual efforts that together will have a gestalt or an impact that will create a tidal change. In that regard, I think Obama is quite right. It needs to be a bottom-up movement. The top-down movement always doesn't really penetrate down to the roots.
It's like really being, if it's... In some ways, it's like real change and real transformation happens from the margins. It happens if you feel marginalized, you're in a good place.
Yeah, yes.
But it doesn't happen in the center of what we call the mainstream.
Yes, and that's the great danger of our times. The historian Arnold Toynbee said that the decay or collapse of a civilization always happens when the people who are the most capable of making a contribution, the people who are most gifted, feel marginalized, not necessarily in an economic sense, but in a sense of what value can their contribution make. They prefer to just take a back seat and let things happen. They no longer feel that their efforts can have any effect. It's a kind of a cynical attitude. And we see that over the last few decades as a problem. So it's important that if we don't want to go down the road of a collapse or an increasing decay, that what's marginal is brought back, if not into the center, into the fiber of the society, into the living core.
So recognizing that none of us have the ability to predict the future, I'm wondering from your perspective, with your background and your understanding, if you were to fast forward to the year 2020 and you had all your druthers, no obstacles, what would you like to see the world be like in 2020?
Well, I would definitely like to see us living within our means. I would like to see us using energy that doesn't destroy the environment. I'd like to see us shifted from oil dependency to something else. I don't believe that going to nuclear energy is necessarily a great solution, because there you have, again, the problem of toxic waste. I think the notion of sustainability and recycling, but brought up to a completely different level, is something we really need to look at, and I'd love to see, if not by the year 2020, sooner than later, a revolution in that. I think it really requires a revolution in ways that we're not really talking about yet. We're not there yet. We're just beginning to get a sense of this. To me, that's the most important thing, because all the other problems we have, as serious as they are, even, genocides, these are things that have been with us for a while. And as tragic as they are, as a global civilization, as a people on the entire planet, we pull through those, or we have so far. I think the ecological issue can be very important to get a handle on. The other things, of course, are very important too. Genocide, places like Darfur and so on. We're in the 21st century. How long are we going to be fighting these kinds of geographically based territorial wars, which are driven by greed, that always the haves take advantage of the have-nots? I think there needs to be a paradigm shift there too. Poverty, I'd love to see poverty minimized, if not eliminated. We have, for most of our problems, we have the technological means and know-how to manage these problems. This is not about living, in a paradise. It's about living in a balanced way, which the ancient democracies, such as in Greece and Rome, were able to do. I'm talking before the Roman Empire. We have the means to do this. Now the issue is to raise the consciousness, the awareness that this is needed, and to get the willpower, both politically on a national level and then a global level, hopefully, but on an individual level in our day-to-day lives as citizens. You just look on television today and you see what most people's minds are preoccupied with. There really needs to be some kind of shift in our orientation and our awareness of what's really important.
Are you hopeful about the future, Michael?
I am hopeful. You know, I'm realistic about it. When I talked earlier about living in an apocalyptic age, you know, anybody who has looked at history carefully knows that death and rebirth is the natural cycle of not only individual development, but cultural and civilization development as well. Civilizations go through death and rebirth. The Jews, the Chinese, the Hindus, the Indians, the Tibetans today, they're all doing that. I know that when you're in the death phase, it's hard to be optimistic. It's hard to be hopeful because it's a dark time. We live in a very dark age. But holding the two together, knowing that, as Picasso said, every act of creation is first and foremost an act of destruction, to reverse it, we need to do that from where we are today, that every period of destruction is eventually, inevitably, on the way to creation, to rebirth. Keeping that perspective keeps me optimistic.
Michael, thanks for being with us on New Dimensions Cafe.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with Michael Gellert. He's the author of The Way of the Small, Why Less is Truly More. And if you'd like more information, you can go to Michael's website, and that's Michael Gellert, GELLERT.com, MichaelGellert.com. Or you can go to the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. My name is Michael Toms. I really appreciate your joining us for the New Dimensions Cafe, and I wish you will come back again.
This has been a New Dimensions Media podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Please send your comments and suggestions to info@newdimensions.org or go to our website, newdimensions.org, to enjoy other New Dimensions programs and to listen to New Dimensions Internet Radio, the internet radio home of New Dimensions Media.